Welcome to Outliving Depression. I'm your host, James Kinnison, reminding you that depression is a liar. You have value even when you're broken and you are stronger than you think you are. This is my personal audio journal where I'm striving to outlive depression. I always like to start off with something interesting, a little weekly update, if you don't mind. Last time I talked a lot about depression seemingly sneaking back in. And, you know, some signs that possibly things were going down. And I'm happy to report that I am no longer concerned about that. Yeah, I'm tired, but my outlook on life is pretty positive. And I don't have any anxiety. I'm not having thoughts of doom. And had some pretty major stuff go down this week. And typically, when I have a lot of stuff going on that drains me, I have that high, you know, and then the pendulum swings the other way and I have a really big low. But I'm very happy to report for once that that is not what has happened. So very excited about that. So the topic this week is something that means a lot to me because it happened. It happens every 2 years. Well, every 2 years that we can do it, we missed COVID, you know, year, but it's called NarthexCon. And it is where people who listen to my podcasts come together and those that can, and we meet up here in St. Louis. And we have some live podcast recording. We do some trivia. We do some giveaways. We have t-shirts and swag bags and food. And we ask people what they want to drink. And we go and buy that for them. It's just a time for me to love on the people that are able to make it. And it was this past Saturday. And it was great. It was such a blessing, and I'd been praying for it to be. You know, I am a Christian. I'm a Christ follower. I attempt to have a relationship with Christ, though I feel that 99.9% of that relationship is funded by God himself and not what I attempt to do. I guess I should say I'm a receiver of his grace. I don't know exactly how to put it. I am someone who is loved by him and therefore love others. But I pray, I say all that to say that I pray that NarthexCon, even though we don't preach, I pray that it would be a spirit-filled event, for lack of a better phrase. An event where people felt the love of God. And I believe it was. And I think it came in an unexpected way. Usually we record three different shows that we do here at Nobody's Listening Podcasts, which is what I call my collection of shows. One of them would have been the Gospel of Kinnison, this show, Outliving Depression. But due to the nature of the show, I wanted to do something different. So I had a friend of mine that I've known for 18 years and have never met in person. His name is Chris Cowan. And he was recording a show, starting a show called Shift Storm. And I said, you know what? Why don't we, since you're coming, which is amazing, you're coming to the event, why don't we do your show instead of Outliving Depression? And then we'll do my wife and I show, We're Both Right, and then we'll do that story show, and then we'll do the bonus content, you know, and that'll be our four different recordings, three major recordings, but, you know. And he said, sure. So I added him to the lineup, and we did that first. That was first on the list of things that we were doing. And he His show focuses on shifts in people's lives. He just starts by basically asking, what was the major shift in your life? What was the time where things changed? And I go straight to the moment that I had to admit that my depression had gotten so bad that I could no longer do my job as a pastor, as a children's pastor. I had to leave everything that I loved and let down everyone that depended on me because I couldn't handle any of it anymore. And he says, okay. And we played, this is in front of a crowd of people. And that set the tone for the whole thing. He plays the intro and he starts asking me questions. And I'll be honest, I don't remember a lot of them. But I cried a lot and I felt a lot of pain. Like the questions dug deep. Like, for instance, one of them was, what did you feel? What were your feelings about depression before you had it? And I've told before, but I thought it was something that was well within the control of the person that had it. I thought it was something that people who just wanted to not participate in life had, you know. I thought it was something that was used as an excuse to not get a job, to not parent your children. You know, I thought it was bullcrap. And I definitely learned different. But that's one of the questions I remember him asking. The rest of it, I'm going to have to wait to a later date. I don't know when he's posting my episode, but I really, 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 really want all of you to go listen to it when it comes out. Because, I don't know, it's after it was all over with, one of the guys, or somebody said, is a friend of mine, said, you were able to talk about things that you don't talk about on Outliving Depression because you don't ask yourself those kinds of questions. And it's true. It's true. I don't want every episode to just be, you know, James bawling into the microphone the whole time. But backing up, what I mean by bringing this up when I do is it was weird to have, you know, what is largely an upbeat event start with something so heavy and so serious. But I really think God moved in that episode because people got to see a side of me that maybe, you know, not everybody listens to this show. They see the comedy James. And for the first time, a lot of them probably saw the dark side, the part that, you know, not many people know about, I guess. And they got to see me go, you know, talk seriously about the problems that I had and still have, and the darkness of what, you know, just depression is. I got to educate people about what it really means and maybe even address people who believed the way I did about depression. And then they got to see the outcome, I guess, the healing. Because through that whole time of suffering, my 10 years of suffering, although it was, like I said, closer to 13 total, the from my 40s to now, or 40-year-old to now, I podcasted when I could, you know, in the midst of all that. And so people got to see that side of me, that dark side, but also come right around and see the married side, you know, with We're Both Right, with me and Jen talking and hanging out. And then the bright side with that story show and the energy. And so, I don't know. I can't imagine somebody that anybody could leave there and not have been affected in a positive way. Anybody with a heart, you know, that could be moved, got moved, is what I'll say. So thanks, Chris, for bringing your show to NarthexCon. That interview was something else. And like I said, when I hear about it, I'm going to shout it from the mountaintops here on the show. I really, 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 really seriously want all of you to go and listen to it. And then, you know, give your feedback. And I hope it helps a lot of people. Cause I guess I'm saying really, really, because it's like the rawest I've been in a long time and the most real I've been in a long time. And like my friend said, I don't ask myself these questions, you know, I don't dig deep because again, I don't want every show to be me crying and miserable, but you know, he asked about suffering and he, you know, and I was able to talk about, you know, he asked, how do you maintain, you know, your relationships and, you know, all this stuff. And those were, once I started bawling, I couldn't stop. I talked through it. You learn how to talk through the pain. And so I even had somebody come up afterwards and he was trying to compliment me and he was, he did. He paid me a huge compliment. He says, you know, when you got to those emotional moments, he said, it just showed me how professional you are, that you were able to talk in spite of it. I said, really, it's not that. It's that you got to stop caring how you sound when you cry. And when I cry, my voice goes up. And you just, most people stop and try to compose themselves so they can continue talking. The trick to being quote unquote professional is just being very unprofessional and continuing to blabber through it, man. And just like when you were a kid and you're explaining to your mom how you hurt yourself because somehow that's going to make you feel better. But you know, NarthexCon was great. A lot of people. What blows my mind, though, is there were folks that signed up and never told me they weren't coming, and we bought t-shirts for them, and they never showed. And it's like, you know, 8 people that just didn't show up. And I understand that. I wish folks had told me, because it would have saved some money. So, you know, this will probably be the last year that we do free t-shirts. I try to do free t-shirts this year. It is the single most expensive part of the event. And I didn't want to go through the hassle of charging everybody for them. But there were so many left over and so much of that money was wasted. You know, what am I going to do with a bunch of medium t-shirts? You know, these odd sizes. And you say, sell them. Yeah, but those are for people that came to the event, you know? So I don't know. I don't know. I want to keep the event free, you know, and all that. I save up, you know, for these events. Quite a bit of money goes into them. Your support, patrons, is what, you know, makes it possible. So I don't want to fundamentally change anything, but I think the t-shirt deal, it's going to have to change. I just got to find a good way to work it into the registration and find a way to charge for it that doesn't rip me off. Because that was the problem, is in the past I've used PayPal and I've just invoiced people. And PayPal takes so much that it ends up being a loss. And that was my thing. It's like I'd rather give it away than have it taken from me. You know what I'm saying? But again, there was so much taken that wasn't used. So I don't know. I'm trying to be a nice guy.
Wayfair's big sale is back. For 3 days only, October 5th through 7th, score up to 80% off everything home with free shipping site-wide. Shop Wayday now until October 7th at wayfair.com.
Wayfair. Every style, every home. New Jersey's got a lot of historic wows, from Victorian beach towns to Revolutionary War battlegrounds. Explore wow after wow at more than 463 historic landmarks, in museums, lighthouses, and over 58 state and national parks. It's one wow after another after another. You get it. Find your wow at visitnj.org/history. New Jersey, little state, lot of wow.
Save big money this October at Menards. October is Fire Safety Month. From smoke and carbon monoxide alarms to fire extinguishers and more, Kidde home safety products keep your family protected in case of emergencies. Get a Kidde direct wire smoke alarm. A hardwired smoke alarm also has a AA battery backup for coverage in case of power outages. Save big at Menards and check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals.
Save big money at Menards.
Speaking of nice guys, there was just something that I never thought about and never expected. It was very unexpected. But Chris Cowan, who is a longtime online friend, and Daniel J. Lewis, another longtime online friend, you know, fellow podcasters, guys that I have befriended, and then of course John Steinclaver. I don't mention him last because of importance, but because I have met him in person and stuff. But these are, you know, two guys, John and or Chris and Daniel, that I've known for years and never met. And they came and we had such a great time. I got to connect with Chris ahead of time and take him to lunch. And then most of us were able to meet up and set up the event together. And then we got to have dinner afterwards with not just them, but friends that I have, you know, because of my little church, little Novation Church. So David Godbout was there, Stacy and Jennifer, my wife. And, you know, we had that special time. We went to Salt and Smoke here I don't know what it is, but it's not the one that's downtown. Anyway, it was Salt and Smoke. It was really good. And we had a good time. And we bonded, not just during the event, which we did, but after the event, I had everybody back to the house that was a part of making it happen. So kind of a after party thing. And my daughter made cookies and she made That Story Show logo cake, which was so amazing. I'll try to get a picture put up or try to make it the picture of the, yeah, that's what I'll do. I'll make it the episode art. So look for the episode art and you'll see the cake. It's so cute. It was so awesome. So it was an awesome time at the house afterwards, where, you know, the friends that I consider family, and then there are people like John and his son James that were there that are like family to me. We've been friends for so long and so well, and then new friends that I've known forever. And we sat and talked and hung out until 11 p.m. or 10:30 or 10:15, I don't know, and the event was over. You know, we were all out of there by 7:30. So it was just awesome. It was awesome. And I met so many great people and had so many great conversations. You know, I don't know that I got to talk to everybody the way I wanted to. There were quite a few people there, but I definitely tried to make myself available for photos and stories. You know, people want to share. And so it was very real and it was very good. And I try very hard at these events to make them as, I don't know, I just want to express how much my audience means to me at these events and bless them, but they end up blessing me so much more than I could ever bless them. So I want to say that to you who is listening right now, that whatever you think of me, whatever you think of what I, when I record and put out, I appreciate that. I do. You know, there were a lot of people that were there that were kind of starstruck, and that just, you know, blows my mind. There was one, especially one little middle school girl who was just a thrill. She was a thrill to watch. She was absolutely enraptured the entire time. She laughed at every joke. She was enjoying her life. And I don't understand it, because it's just me, you know, it's just dumb old James, you know, but, I appreciate that and I understand it, but whatever you think of me, whatever level, you know, that you put me at, I put you higher. And you've got to know, I've got to tell you, I pray for you every day, not by name, but I pray for your family. I pray for your finances. I pray for your jobs. I pray for your family. I pray for your spiritual well-being. I pray that you will find truth, that you will find the truth of Jesus Christ, and that the Holy Spirit would draw you to him. I pray that God would give you life. So that's a daily, 6 days a week. I don't pray for you on Sunday. So that's my day off, because prayer still works for me. It's a duty. Something, it's a discipline. How about that? So, but the thing is, like I said earlier, I usually would expect a downtime after such a high point, you know, back when I was just getting into depression, like just getting my feet wet, so to speak. I would have these highs where I would be able to accomplish these things. And then afterwards, though, I would crash so hard and just be absolutely miserable. It'd take me 2 or 3 days to recover. And in our world, we call that spoons. How many spoons do you have? You know, every day you're given a certain amount of spoons, a certain amount of energy. Maybe it's a 2-spoon day. You've only got 2 spoons worth of energy, and you've got to take it easy. Sometimes you get a 10-spoon day. And sometimes you have a 5-spoon day, but you need 10 spoons. And so you end up spending 10 spoons, and then it takes spoons from the next 2 days to make up for it. Do you understand how the analogy works? I hope so. Because in this case, I had all the spoons I needed and then some. So I was tired, of course. I was worn out. You can tell my voice is probably a little deeper than normal, because I talked a lot. I had a lot of talking to do, but no downtime. And I consider that a miracle. I really do. So especially considering, okay, so Saturday, you know, we set up Friday. I had the whole week was getting ready, right? You know, last minute things, t-shirts were picked up on Friday. I mean, you know, that kind of stuff. You know, we had to buy ice. We had to set up in advance. We were visiting, and again, these things are great things, right? But they are things that take energy, and they take emotional energy. And when you're a person that deals with depression, you know that whether it's good or bad, it still pulls from the same resource. You know, it still takes that energy. So, you know, Sunday, or we stayed up late, you know, Saturday with the after party. And then Sunday, we got up. It was my stupid idea. Got up and met at City Museum. It was Chris and his friend Gabe, I think. John and James Steinklauber. And then Chris, Daniel, and his son that we call the Red Ninja, because he is an awesome kid. And we went to City Museum. And it was amazing. And let me just do a health update and squeeze it right in here. I brought my knee pads for the first time, and I climbed and crawled and squeezed in places. I've been there 5 times. I've never been able to interact like I could at my current weight. I've always run out of energy. I've always gotten too sweaty and too sore. I've never been able to fit because of my size. And I'm telling you, I was like a jungle monkey, man. I was inside of secret places. I was squeezing between stuff. Matter of fact, my eyes kept lying to me. They're like, there's no way you're going to fit through that. And I would just go and I would just slide through. And there's only one time that I almost got stuck, and it was just because my hip bones both hit, you know, this barrier, and I just slid them a little bit sideways and I went right through. It was just crazy. I felt like, I don't know. I felt like I was in an Avatar. You know, Avatar, the movie where the guy has no legs and he gets in the blue guy and he goes and just starts running. That's what I felt like. I felt like I was handicapped before, and then suddenly I was set free and set loose. I never got winded. I was never out of breath. I sweated, of course, and I was sore afterwards, but not like crazy sore, like, you know, debilitatingly sore. I was just normal. And oh my gosh, guys, you just don't know. You don't know. I don't really enjoy walking 30 minutes every day on 3-3, you know? I'm not thrilled to do my exercises, but oh my gosh, between that hike that me and my wife did and then my day at City Museum, it is so good. It is so good. Oh my gosh, God is so good. And again, I cheated. I took the cheater's route and got the surgery. But life is so good. Life is so good. It just, anyway, I just could go on and on, but it would just be me saying, it's so good, it's so good. So anyway, we did that, right? And I came home and went to sleep because I did not sleep well. I was so tired. And so because we stayed there for till about 12:30. I got home about 1. And then the next morning got up at the butt crack of dawn and did all my disciplines. And so that was like 6 a.m. and ended up, I had jury duty. So when it rains, it pours on James, man. Narthex Con, lots of visiting, lots of fun, lots of great energy sapping things. And then a bad night of sleep and jury duty. But as I was on the treadmill, I was like, God, I don't want to waste a miracle, you know, but can you please get me out of jury duty, please? And so I got ready and I went and I read my book, which I'll talk about in a minute. And I just sat there and they called 3 different groups of people and I never got called. And then they said, okay, everybody up in the mezzanine, which is the quiet area, come downstairs. And she says, I got good news and great news. Which do you want first? And I knew immediately that we had not been called into duty and we were let go and we still got our $12. Yeah, baby. You know, and I'm off the hook for 2 years, you know? So there we go. I got out of jury duty and I literally thanked God on the way to the car. You know, I hope I didn't waste a miracle on this one because it wasn't that big a deal. I don't mind. I just have a problem. I don't have a problem with the concept. I want to do my duty, okay? I'm proud American, and this is part of what makes America work. I just have a big issue. An issue is probably not the right word, and hang up's probably not the right word. I don't want to judge people. I don't know the whole story. I haven't lived in their shoes. And so to condemn someone or decide their fate is such a big thing to me. It is such a big thing that I don't know that I'm comfortable being a part of it. And eventually I probably will be, and I will deal with that when I get there. But I recently had a friend who ended up in a murder trial here in St. Louis. And she had to help decide the punishment. Like, it was pretty obvious that he did it. The evidence was overwhelming, but he had not accepted a plea deal. So the decision wasn't the hard part. It was deciding what to do with them. So, yeah, you know, I don't know what I would do in that kind of situation. So, yeah, so Narthex Con, friends, family, no downtime, but jury duty. And then I hate to keep secrets from you guys, but I had a major life-changing experience yesterday. It was just dropped in my lap. And maybe one day I'll talk about it. Maybe one day I'll talk about it. There's several things that I want to talk about on here that I've never talked about before. But if you pray for me, pray for that I will walk in wisdom, acceptance, and love that is beyond me, you know, that is straight from God. You know, there's a part in the Gospels where Jesus tells the disciples that he sends them out and all that kind of stuff. And, well, no, I don't even think it's that part. I think it's the part where he's warning them about the future. And he says, in those days, don't worry about what you're going to say, because the Spirit will give you what you're supposed to say. And with major life changes, what you say can make all the difference. And wisdom doesn't talk very much. Wisdom shuts the freak up and lets people assume that you're wise. So maybe that's what I need to do. And if so, I pray that that is what will happen. But just again, pray that I would speak in wisdom and in love and acceptance. That's what I need. Life updates. I had eye surgery. I mentioned that I was getting it last time. I did get it, and it's been a week. I just went to my follow-up appointment. And let me tell you, you want to talk about life-changing eye surgery from cataracts. I had no idea how bad it had gotten. I had no frame of reference, because it got bad over a period of time, but it got better instantly in my right eye. And just driving down the road and then closing my right eye and looking through my left eye, I mean, first of all, color. I didn't realize how gray everything was, how hazy everything was. Everything was like a Tim Burton movie. It was all silhouettes and black and white and shades of gray. Color is amazing. Being able to read signs from a distance is amazing. I can read license plates again, which, oh, I missed that so much. Sarcasm. But it's nuts. I have one bad eye and one good eye, and my brain has been like, okay, we're ignoring everything in that left eye, and we are completely using right eye for everything. So, but I did get back from the follow-up today, and they said everything looks good. Everything's going great. The eye has healed up. I'll tell you, at first, when they first put the lens in, it was slippery in there. Like, I couldn't feel it. But I could, when I looked around, I could see it kind of flopping, because it was like it was in the gel, but the gel hadn't solidified yet. And I talked to an older guy, and he said, yeah, once it heals up, that goes away. Because there was some weird refractions and weird glares that I was getting, and light was kind of bouncing weird. But it has definitely settled in, and it is absolutely imperceivable. Light does refract differently off of like lights. Like, I don't think I'm going to have aneurysm, not an aneurysm. I hope I don't have an aneurysm, astigmatism anymore, where light just travels from any light source, goes all the way to the top and bottom of your eyes. If you ever want to see what people with astigmatism look like, look it up and say, what does astigmatism look like? You know, and you'll see what we see in traffic at night, especially. And it's ridiculous. But I do see halos, what they call halos, little halos of light around sources of light. So, but it's really good. The new eye is a little weak close up, but its distance is great. And I'm looking forward to the 9th is when I get my second eye done. And it actually is my worst eye. They had it scheduled first, but then they canceled And so I got my second worst eye done. So it is kind of neat that I'm able to compare my worst eye to my new best eye. I don't know how I read anything. I'm looking at show notes right now through my left eye with my right eye closed, and I can read it, but barely. I was having to invert everything. Like, I had plugins that would turn the white part of the screen black and the black part of the screen white so that I could read and see. Because the white would glare so much that it would flare up and it was refracting off the haze in my lens. So if you don't know what cataracts are, just for fun, it's just when your lens gets cloudy and eventually it can get so bad that you go blind. And I was legally blind and there's no way I should have been driving, but don't tell anybody because I was. So eye surgery has been great and looking forward to that left eye. Looking forward to it. I know why they do it separately now. Not only because if they mess up, you still have one good eye left. But there is a healing process. And yeah, if you had both of them out, you wouldn't be able to do anything. But with just one fixed, man, there's so much that opens up to you. Health updates. I hit my goal weight. My stretch goal of 215 this week. It is actually the morning of NarthexCon. So, you know, talk about just another wonderful thing, you know, that takes energy, you know, it all takes energy, reaching a goal of 215. And we'll see, you know, the scale seems to have slowed down right at that point. You know, it has gone up 0.2 pounds. It's gone down 0.2 pounds. You know, I may be done with my weight loss. That's fine. 215 is 15 pounds lighter than the doctor said I would be. I feel great. I feel like I look good in clothes. And just to get a little personal, I think I look okay without clothes too. You know, I worried a lot about sagging, you know, because you have this extra skin that happens when you have surgery. And majority of mine is under my chin on my neck, but it just looks like an old man neck now. You know, it's not gross. And then, of course, my stomach has flattened out and sagged. But you know what? It sagged a lot more when it was fat. So it actually doesn't look bad. Not as bad as I thought it would. Like, I would be comfortable going shirtless in out there like this. Like I don't think I would gross anybody out. I don't think anybody would look twice. I probably will still wear a swim shirt just for fun. But I actually had not checked myself out until like yesterday. And I looked, I finally just looked. I'm like, okay, here I am at goal. Let's see what this thing did. You know, yeah, I look great in clothes, but just looked at myself and yeah, it's not gross. And I didn't want to be gross. I am deflated. But when you consider what you looked like fat, it's, you know, context, I guess, is everything. So I don't know. For me though, I'm a little tiny bit vain in that I don't want to be grossing people out. You know, if they see me at the beach or at the pool or something. So I think I've achieved that goal. I don't think I'm gross. So that's a good thing. I haven't been able to work out because of my eyeball. Okay. So I wasn't supposed to lift over 30 pounds. So that was rule one. And then the other one was I couldn't bend over past my waist. And so that pretty much kept me from doing my, you know, upper body workouts, but I'm going to start doing that again Thursday, which is tomorrow. So it's been a week, and I have 3 weeks of drops that I have to put in my eye 3 times a day. So that's fun, but I can start working out again tomorrow. Podcast stuff. Obviously, you know, NarthexCon was great and all that. I mentioned setting up the board from home and how awesome that was. It did work. I took it in, David and I tried it out, and it worked from the get-go. So this little box that you guys bought me, the Rodecaster Pro 2, is such a stress reliever, and it is so strong in what it's capable of doing. And I appreciate all of the patrons who make it possible for me to upgrade equipment occasionally as needed. But I'm a dork. I'm still a dork, and the best technology in the world is not going to save me from that. And as we were doing the show, I had forgotten to load. The first two stories were supposed to be voicemails that had come in, and I'd forgotten to load them into the Rodecaster Pro. The Rodecaster Pro has little buttons, right, that allow me to play music, and they are great. And I could have loaded those voicemails in there, but I totally forgot. I remembered every other detail of everything, and I messed up so bad on the main show that everybody came to listen to. But it all worked out good, and we'll use those in the next episode of That Story Show. So those people will still get their stuff read. It just wasn't at Narthex Con, and it wasn't during our theme show, even though the stories were themed to pesky parents. Usually I talk about depression at this point, but honestly, there's nothing to discuss other than the lack of it, and I've already kind of addressed that. So I'm going to move right into family updates. Jen was so essential and so great, so amazing with Narthex Con. There was so much organization to be done that I didn't even realize, because we had gift bags for everybody. We had name tags for everybody, and we had shirt orders, you know, that needed to be matched up with people. And she took all three of those jobs that I didn't know what I was going to do and how I was going to do them. And she put it all together, and she even got other people involved to help her to distribute the swag items in the gift bags. I put in tiny little cows for the free cow joke. I put in a lemon stress ball that was printed with That Story Show for Lemons Lemons, a little inside joke for the show in case you don't listen to That Story Show. So, and there was a keychain, and there was a sticker, a Narthex Con sticker, and she put the t-shirts and the correct sizes together with the name badges and had them all sitting up there to where people were able to go and find theirs, right? I mean, it's just amazing. And she helped me run. We had a table where we were selling hats and mugs and stickers, and she ran that for me, and she was just generally amazing. The other person that I have to thank is David Godbout and Stacy again. But David's my best friend in the whole world, and he was there, and he ran sound for me, and he ran the trivia quizzes for me, and he set up the sound system for me and tore it down for me. And nobody asked him to do any of that. He just did it. He just does things like that because he's awesome. So thanks, David. You're the best. Podcasting wise, I am podcasting today. It's Wednesday. It's a show I usually do on Sunday nights, but it got pushed back because of Narthex Con and the schedule there. And there was a part of me that didn't want to do it because I'm so tired. I am tired. I am worn out. And I just decided, you know what? I'm going to take a nap, and I'm going to get up, and I'm going to do the show notes. And trick myself, I'll just do the show notes. And then once I did the show notes, it was easy to record. So what am I reading, watching, playing, and doing? Reading, I'm reading The Book of Skulls by Robert Silverberg, and I'm almost done. I got a lot of reading done while I was waiting to not go on jury duty. And I hope it pays off, okay? I'm getting really close. It tells you how much time you have left, you know, in the book on Kindle. And I hope it pays off because it's gotten into way more crap than I'm comfortable with. And you guys know, I mean, I watch Rick and Morty, so I can get comfortable with a lot of crap, but this one is, it's just morally questionable about whether I should even be reading it, but I'm so far in now. It's like, you know, I'll just beg for forgiveness after the fact. I just need to finish reading it. But it's, I would not suggest it to anybody that values their salvation. It's not something I'm proud that I'm reading. But I'm watching Dexter, and I guess that falls in the same category. It's a Showtime show, and so there's stuff in there that I watch it while I'm doing other things. So every now and then I see stuff I don't want to see. But here's the thing. I'm not completely hooked into the story. It still comes off kind of like a sitcom. So give me ideas for something better. Send me emails, james@nlcast.com. And what is good? What is good on Netflix? What is good on Prime? I have Prime. I have Netflix. I have Apple Plus. I have Hulu. And I have Max, you know, which is HBO Plus or whatever it was before that. HBO Max. It's just Max now. So I have all of that. So what is good? Tell me something better to watch than Dexter. And then I've been watching The Acolyte, which is getting a lot of hate. And it does have two homosexual characters in it, but they're not even main characters. And they died in fire. And I think a lot of people are hating on it because of that, but it is the greatest spinoff story that I've experienced. And I love it. It's really good. It's really, really good. Star Wars Acolyte. Love it. What am I playing? I bought something. I bought another game, and I know I'm not supposed to do that because I have so many games that I haven't played at all. Watch Dogs 2, you know, I started playing Resident Evil Village. I bought and played for a little while. Well, now I bought Dead Island 2, which is the sequel to a game I really enjoyed called Dead Island, where you're stuck on this island and there's a zombie outbreak and you're in this vacation wonderland with all these zombies and you have to create tools and then beat the smack out of these zombies. And I love zombie games, man. I do. I love it. I love the gore, okay? And in this one, when you hit them in the legs, it hurts them in the legs. Like, you can see the damage and it's so satisfying, and call me sick if you want to, but that's amazing to me. And it's a great game. It's a little more on the rails. It's not as open world as its predecessor was, but I don't hate that. I grew up with Doom, you know, and Wolfenstein 3D, which was definitely more on the rails. And what I mean by that is there's a path that you must go through. You know, there's an order to things and there's tasks that you do in a certain order. And I don't mind that a bit. A lot of people really hate that and they like to be able to just go and do whatever they want. I kind of hate that. The same reason that I used to hate, what were the books that choose your own adventure books? I was always holding my finger on every decision because I would read all the way through and then I would back up and then read the other decisions because I wanted to get the most out of the book. And with games like Starfield, which is a Bethesda game, where you can literally just go out and do anything, I find myself getting lost. And I feel like I got to experience everything. I have to get my maximum amount of enjoyment and money out of this game. And I can't, I find myself not getting, you know, gripped into the game as much. So thank God for the simplicity of Dead Island 2. You're in LA, your plane crashes. I'm playing some rock star chick and you're just going through again. It's not a vacation wonderland, but it's like a rich people's wonderland. And there's all these zombies running around and you have to defeat them and complete quests. And there's all these personalities, you know, these LA type personalities and stuff. So I'm really enjoying it. What am I doing? I finished my Buzz Lightyear that I was doing out of 1 centimeter plastic blocks. I don't know. I'll post. If you become my friend on Facebook, you can see a picture of it. That's where I posted the picture. He didn't turn out exactly like I thought he would. I started doing him and putting him together with the intention of making him perfect. Okay. Like each square would go in together perfectly. And the paint, first of all, didn't coat well. Even when I sanded it, you know, and put primer on it, the craft paint, some of it had a lot of pigment, other ones needed multiple coats. And so there's brush marks and in the light when the light hits it. And so to do it over again is in the possibly in the works. Because of that, I would use spray primer. And then airbrush. I have an airbrush. I could airbrush the color onto it and get it, you know, just perfect. I got this perfect sheet of glass and my square started getting a lot more perfect. So there's a part of him that is kind of Minecraft-y looking where the blocks don't line up quite right. And then there's a part that's nice and smooth, his legs and his head and stuff like that. But it's all in all, I would say it's a big disaster. I think from 5 foot away, he looks fine. I kind of want to put a coat of resin over him, like two coats of resin, and see if that doesn't forgive a multitude of sins, if it doesn't take the brush marks away and just leave it with a nice, clear, solid sheen. I don't know. But if you're my friend on Facebook, go to James Kennison. It's facebook.com/NLcast, I think, is my short code. And let me know what you think. I have ordered for my neck. I guess I'm in a craft phase, and I haven't been in a craft phase in years. But I ordered some clay, and I ordered a spring, because I've had a goal on my wish list for a long time. I never thought I would be back into crafting again, but I want to make a Buzz Lightyear bobblehead. Now, I have several, okay? I've got Funko ones. I've got ones from different manufacturers. I have ones that are made of ceramic. But I was walking through a mall past a sporting... It wasn't a sporting goods store. It was a sporting collector's store. And they had these... They had to have been 2 foot tall, oversized bobbleheads of football players. And I just immediately was like, I got to have that, but it's Buzz Lightyear. And the trick has been finding the spring, because I can model the body, I can model the head, but what size spring is going to hold his head up just right? You know, how much is that head going to weigh? Well, I got on Amazon and I started looking up springs. First, I Googled. There's no help on Google. You got people that want to sell you giant bobbleheads. And I even emailed one and said, hey, look, just sell me a spring. No response whatsoever. So I got online. I got on Amazon. I started looking up springs. And some of them will tell you how much weight they can hold. And so I ended up buying two different springs for about $5. One was $3, one was $5. And one will hold up to 5 pounds, and one will hold up to 10 pounds. And I'm not imagining in any stretch of the imagination that I'm going to approach 5 or 10 pounds with this head. But it's going to be a big head, okay? It's going to be maybe a little smaller than a soccer ball. It's going to be a big head and a big body for that matter. I imagine him being at least a foot tall. So there'll be a lot of clay, but it's going to be polymer clay, and it'll be the kind that you cure up in the oven. So I'll be able to build it and then cure it and then build more on top of it and cure that. I got some basic tools. So that'll be what I do next. And buying springs. I will be buying springs until I find the spring that I think will support the head. So, and when I do find this information, I'm going to post an article on my blog at jameskennison.com. And I'm going to provide this answer to the world, because no one knows. I found a post from 4 years ago where a guy was like, I want to make a giant bobblehead. And I was so excited. I'm like, somebody that finally wants to do what I want. It was on Reddit, and no one had answered him for 4 years. I'm like, crap, I'm going to have to figure this out on my own. So anyway, my closing thought for today is this, okay? It's long. Depression gives you a gift that it never intended to give you. It makes you a sufferer, someone who suffers. And as such, you are part of a great group of people who have been forced to shed all the bullcrap of life and don't have the time or the energy for anything more than the basics. It strips you down. As you suffer, if you keep on living, and I pray that you do, you will grow into a better type of person, not just a better person, a better type of person. You will be more authentic. You will be more honest. You will be more open. And most of all, you will be able to support others who are suffering in the right way, not the way people try to help you, where they say these trite little things and they post their stupid little comments on Facebook that they're just supposed to fix everybody. Your skin is not paper, so don't cut it. That was the latest one I heard. It's like, yeah, that sounds good. That sounds good, but it doesn't work. It doesn't work. It just makes you seem like you care. And maybe you do, but you don't know how. But that's the thing. As a person who suffers, it translates to any suffering. So if somebody's lost a loved one, if somebody's lost a child, if someone is going through depression, you are part of a, I don't want to say elite group, but you're part of an elite group of people who are sufferers, and it makes you better. So that's another reason to hang on if you're dealing with depression, is it is accidentally, it's never wanting to do anything nice for you, never wants to do anything but kill you and destroy you. But if you survive it, and I believe you can, I so believe you can, I know you can, if you stay alive, you will be a better person. It will carve and mold and shape you and beat you into a better person. So there you go. This show is brought to you by our supporting listeners on Patreon, with special thanks to Carrie Wright and Carrie Bernhardt. Join the community. Become a supporting listener today at patreon.com/GOK. Email me your feedback, thoughts, and questions. Things I should be watching instead of Dexter, james@nlcast.com. And if you have a topic you'd love to hear me talk about, if you have questions you'd love for me to answer, please send them, james@nlcast.com. For everything else, visit outlivingdepression.com. We'll see you guys next time. God bless.
Question for you. Would you rather pay $150 a month or $15 a month to work out with the same high-quality gym equipment? At Planet Fitness, you can get top-tier equipment for $15 a month. Plus, save $28 or more when you join now during our Strong Choice Sale. Our weights weigh the same, you just don't pay the same. Enjoy free fitness training and 24-hour access at most clubs, all in the judgment-free zone. Join Planet Fitness today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month, cancel anytime. Deal ends October 10th. See club for details.
Most tax pros leave a message.
It's Jane. I'm moving on to a TurboTax expert who beat your price. Adam Devine, tell him how I feel.
Hey, tax pro, she's been thinking twice. Best believe TurboTax will beat your price. This is a tax break.
Switch to a TurboTax live expert and we'll beat what you paid your pro last tax season. Make the switch at TurboTax.com/beatyourprice. TurboTax full service only. Sign up by 12/20/2024 and file by 4/1/2025. Full details at TurboTax.com/beatyourprice.